chapter. Great questions, you guys, and I appreciate it. Let's finish our book, though. I was kind of living life with passion. We've been working on this for over 10 weeks, which is because we had a couple of interjections and other classes in between. But I'd like to finish off the book. It's been a stupendous book for me. I love the book. I love the material in it, and it fits well with me in terms of how I want to live my life and how I choose to live my life. And we've gone through a lot of aspects of it, 9 different chapters. Today's our last chapter in the epilogue, which I want to work on, too, because he had a lot of great things in there. But the quote for today was, "The greatest power a person possesses is the power to choose," and that was written by J. Martin Coe. And I don't really know who this gentleman is. I don't recognize the name, but it's a great quote. "The greatest power a person possesses is the power to choose," and choice is gigantic. And some of you know that I teach in my pathway class, I say, live your life by choice and commitment versus chance and circumstance, the 4 C's. We have too many people living their lives by chance and circumstance. Well, I'm waiting, and I even had one of my people in my organization this week on her accountability report she sends in. She even mentioned, she said, she's an executive director on her way to presidential, close to presidential, and she says, you know, I found myself waiting for presidential to happen. She got it, that she was living her life by chance and circumstance, waiting for something to happen instead of creating it by choice and commitment. She started saying, now I'm starting to look at my life and say, what am I doing daily to get myself the presidential? Is this action supporting me to get the presidential? Starting to evaluate your actions based on choice and commitment versus chance and circumstance. So, you know, huge concept is choice, our power of choice. And Peter Hirsch, who's the author of Living with Passion, of course, looks at choice as really, it's the simplest of all the secrets that he gave us in this book. However, it's the most powerful because it's the one that gives you access to all the other 9 secrets. And he says, choice merely is the acknowledgement that moment by moment throughout the day, it is up to you. We make, how many choices do we make on a daily basis? And almost everything we involve ourselves with, I mean, if you look at everything that you do during the day, everything you do is you're making a choice around. Some of you do it blindly because you're kind of in a pattern, and you don't even recognize you're making a choice because it's not a conscious choice. It's a subconscious choice. But choices are made on everything we do. What we have to eat, what we do, you know, what we watch on television, what we do with our time, every moment of our time. It's all about choices. We're making choices every moment of our day. And it's up to us. It's up to us because we truly can make different choices. And he gave a story of Henry Peterson. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what that story is about because it was so touching to me. And Henry Peterson was this kid who, you know, was raised in a family. No one had ever been to college in his family, classic case, hardship case. And he just said, I'm going to be the first kid to go to college. And so he had this dream of graduating from college. He also had a dream of playing football in college. He wasn't a great stature guy, so he knew he wasn't going to ever play in the pros, but he wanted to make a team. So he went on in his life, and he, of course, got into college, set his dream, set his goals, got to college, you know, tried out for the team, and he got on the team. And he was on the football team, but he was a bench warmer. We know what that is. That means he didn't ever get off the bench. For 4 years, he was on the football team. And for those of you who didn't understand anything about college sports, you know that you put up with a lot of stuff in college sports. You have tons of practices, you just put a tremendous time dedication. And here's a kid that was so dedicated just to be on the team that he went through all that even though he knew he wasn't playing. So anyway, he goes through this lifestyle. The last game of his college career is about to happen, and he has a death in the family. His father passes away, and he goes to the coach, and he goes, Coach, I got this huge dilemma. My dad passed away. Should I go and be with the family? Or, you know, because if I go and be with the family, then I feel like I'm letting the team down. But if I show up for the last game, then I feel like I'm letting my family down. And the coach, of course, right away said, hey, don't worry about the team. You know, you're not really playing for us every day anyway, so go, don't let your family down, go to, you know, spend time with your family. Well, they get to Saturday morning, everybody shows up for the game, and there's Henry. He's in all suited up, and the coach looks at him and says, what are you doing here? I thought you were going to go home. And, of course, Henry looks at him and says, Coach, I need a favor. And the coach says, well, whatever you need. You know, he was just kind of sensitive to this kid, and Henry said, you need to start me today. And the coach looked at him and said, "What? I've never started you. You've never played in any game." And Harry goes, "Hey," he said, "anything I need, you need to start me today." And the coach kind of looked at him and he said, "Well, okay, Henry, but no, you know, the minute you screw up, the minute something goes, or you're not getting the yardage we need," he was a running back, you know, he says, "I'm going to take you out. So know that. I mean, but I'll start you." So he started Henry that day. And, you know, as the story goes on, of course, Henry, he ran for over 100-plus yards. He had an incredible day. And at the end of the day, when the whole thing was over, the coach looked at him and said, I never knew you could play like this. You didn't show up that way in practice. And he says, "How did I know?" And he said to him, he says, "Did you ever see me with my dad walking around the field hand in hand, walking around the local college campus, you know, hand in hand and arm in arm?" And the coach said, "No, I can't remember, you know, I don't remember all that." And he says, "What's your point, Henry?" And he said, "Coach," he said, "my dad was blind, and today was the first game he was ever able to see me play." Incredible story. But the interesting thing about Henry was, he said, "Why did he play so well? What changed his life on that day?" And he said, "Because that was the day I realized it was my choice to be a bench warmer or to be a player." His choice, am I going to be a bench warmer or I'm going to be a player? What a huge thing. And that's the story of Henry Curtis. So it's kind of like looking at us. Are we choosing to be bench warmers or are we choosing to be players? Choice. No one can ever take it from you. It's the ultimate in creativity and the ultimate freedom we all have. And we choose everything that happens in our lives. We choose around it. What are you going to do with the next 10 minutes? Your choice today to be on this Monday call. It's all about choices we make, and we have the ultimate freedom through the choices that we make in our life. So let's look at and kind of get the idea of choice for us around those other nine, and this is kind of a recap of the other nine simple secrets that Peter had in his book, because we've spent a lot of weeks since we looked at some of those early ones, and how does choice impact all of them? Because it impacts everyone. Remember what Peter said, he says it's the most powerful secret of the 10 simple secrets that guarantee your success, because it gives you access to all the other ones. The first secret that we talked about was challenge. Do we love them or do we run from them? I mean, we need to love challenges. We need to go after solutions. We need to jump on them and run with them. And that's the life and that's the attitude we need to take on. But again, it's all about choice. Are we choosing to take on challenges or are we choosing to walk away from them? Are we choosing to play victim to them or are we choosing to jump in and take them on? And that's number one, challenges. So if you have a challenge in your life, and some of you have challenges with people in your downline, you have challenges with Manatech, you have challenges with Classic versus Advanced, you have challenges with trying to win the Alaska Incentive. These are all challenges in our life that come across. What are the choices we're making? Are we going victim to somebody else's actions or behavior, or are we making choices about taking them on as challenges? Again, choice allows you to step into that challenge. Number two is belief systems. We pick belief systems up on our way through life. A lot of our belief systems in our programs that structure us were created even without us knowing them. I mean, our first 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years of life, living in an environment, the family structure, the family treatment, how your mother treated you, your dad treated you. A lot of our belief systems are structured on that. In fact, they say 80% of our belief system is structured in our first 8 years of life. So you have 80% of these belief systems that are already structured in your. Now the concept is choice. The reality is that we can choose our own belief system. We don't have to be stuck in the belief system that was created because of how we were treated as a kid. Whether we have a belief system that causes us, I'm not important, I'm not, you know, I'm not worthy, I can't do those things, I'm not capable, you know, parents that are overly, excessively protective, they are like, don't do that. And so all of a sudden you, instead of having an unlimited capacity in life, which is how most children are raised, you know, when we're born, we have no limitations. When we're 3 years old, we have no limitations. But somehow limitations are introduced to us in many different mechanisms, so we change our belief system about having unlimited capacity to create whatever we choose to create. Well, we can change our belief system, too. You got to understand that you have control over that belief system. You can change your belief system because it's all about choice. Number three is purpose and values, how the core of our values make up the person we are. I love this one because you know, I have so many people that when I work with them and I coach them and I mentor them, they go, well, Mary Jo, I'm really just seeking out who I am. I'm trying to find out who I am. And I have a lot of people near and dear to me that say those kind of things to me, and they go, I'm just, you know, I'm really doing some introspection to find out who I am. And I kind of, my response to that is, well, it's great to be introspective, but do you get the idea who you are, your purpose, your values in life? Are you choose them. It's not like there's some great awakening that you're going to find something at the end of this tunnel of who you are. Who you are is who you choose to be. Well, who are you choosing to be? If you choose to be a person of integrity, you become a person of integrity. You carry it out. If you choose whatever values or purpose you choose, that's who you become. It's choices that you make in it. It's not some kind of great awakening or enlightening, well, this is who I figured out who I am. You can choose who you are. That's choices that you make in your life. So don't go into confusion on this. Stay with clarity around who you are, the purpose, and choose who that person is. Make a list of what are the 10 most important values to your life and choose to be that, and that's who you are. Conquering fear is number 4 of one of our secrets. And again, how do we conquer fear? We choose love and choose surrender. That's how we conquer fear. I love to go out and teach and train. I was in Des Moines 2 weeks ago teaching in Des Moines and a training on a Saturday. And I kept coming up. He says, why don't we do enough sharing because of this? Why don't we do follow-up because of fear? Every single answer, I said, why is it we don't do all these things that we know that will create a better Manatech business for us? And almost every single time I asked those questions, the word from the audience was fear. Fear, fear, fear. So my next question was to the group. I said, how many of you are
Christians? Good morning, are you okay?
Hello. How many of you are Christians in this audience? And I go, do we read biblical scripture or do we selectively read it? Because it tells us that with perfect love there is no fear. It's not about fear. It's not about choosing into fear. It's about choosing out of fear. And so it's a concept of why is fear stopping us from doing the things that we so desperately know we need in life. And again, it's a choice. It's choosing out of fear. When fear enters your head, you just choose out of it. It's a choice you make around it. You choose to dismiss it. It's that little voice you stop listening to. You replace it with better talk. And again, I represent that great book by Chad Helmstetter that says, what do you say to yourself when you talk to yourself? It's a great book because it helps people get rid of that stupid little voice that keeps convincing you of other things instead of coming from beginner's mind and just being open to what you can create in life. So choose, conquering fear is choice. It's about, again, choosing different, choosing love, choosing surrender. Attitude is the 5th secret that he had in his book.
Mary Jo, how do you choose surrender? I don't get that part.
Choose surrender.
Yeah, how does
who's in control? Who's in control in your life?
How does choosing surrender conquer fear?
Because if you're not in control, if you take it from a Christian perspective and you say, God's in control, and I choose surrender,
how
can I possibly walk in life in fear when I'm not in control? He's in control.
Gotcha.
You get it. It's huge. He's in control. So by fear, you're suggesting he's going to make a mistake. He's going to do something wrong. He's going to create something different for you. You get it? Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
So choosing surrender is huge. It's a huge part of it. It's a huge part of it. Okay. Yeah, great. Attitude, number 5. Attitude is another one. Our attitude towards things. Some of you say, oh, Mary Jo, how can my attitude change? You know, I have a bad attitude. Somebody does something wrong to me. Well, my question to you is, why do you let other people control your emotion? Because that's really where your attitude comes from, is your emotional state. For the most part, that's where our attitude comes from. Why are you letting other people control your attitude and your emotion? Why do you let that happen? And you can say, well, Mary Jo, how do you do differently? I mean, when something bad happens to us, we get depressed. And I go, yep, on a temporary basis, you might have a little, you know, you might tweak yourself. It might impact you. I mean, there are things, and don't ever consider yourself standing alone and bad things happening, because bad things happen to everyone. I don't know anyone who's had the perfect existence where not one bad thing has happened. If they have, my goodness gracious, what a life you've led. But, you know, you were just very fortunate and very blessed. because bad things happen. I mean, I have my own story about my brother being shot and killed by his wife. I mean, was I angry? Did that impact? Was that event something that changed my attitude? Oh, my gosh. I was angry. I was upset, mostly at God. I just went crazy. I started yelling at him. I went to a church. I spent 4 hours crying and getting angry with him. And it's okay to be angry at God. It's okay. It's A-okay. He wants to hear from you in all your frames of references. But after releasing that, I could step back the next day, get up, and take on a whole new attitude. Now I was, what, the provider. I had to step in. I wanted to take charge. I wanted to be make the greatest possible impact I could possibly make on my brother's kids because they were so crucial. They were just lost both parents, and I'm sitting here wallowing in my misery. What's that all about? Again, it was a choice I had to make. And sometimes we have to rely on other things, our spirituality and other directions, to help move us out of that so we can make better choices. But it's you have the choice around attitude. You have the choice on whether you allow somebody to impact you and create that bad attitude. And you could say, well, how? What do you mean I have choice? You have choice. When my husband says something to me that I think is relatively negative or something like that, or picking on me for some reason, because he happens to be an analyst, so analysts and promoters sometimes have a hard time getting along with each other, I can choose not to let it impact me. I sit back and I go, wow, that's his stuff running him. I'm not letting him run me into some kind of tiz or cause me to be disrupted in my emotional state. It's not going to happen. I won't let it happen. Because I have the choice around it, and we need to recognize our choice is we can take on the most incredible attitude that we choose to take, but it comes from choice. It's not, we're not controlled by our circumstances. We make choices. Six is focus. A lot of us love to live in confusion out there. We love diversions. We love bunny trails because, you know what, it keeps us busy. But focus is crucial. And again, it's another one around choice. You choose into focus or you choose not. And it's not really, it's a by default we choose out of it. It's not really a choice. I don't think anyone goes out there and says, I choose not to be focused. No one would say that. But by default, they're making that choice because they're not staying in clarity and focus. You have to specifically choose clarity and focus. And some of you need to discipline yourself to really choose it because it doesn't come natural to you. And these kind of things, focus and clarity, are things that you have to discipline yourself and pattern yourself and set up habits in your life that allow that to happen. And pretty soon it's going to be done by subconsciously. You're going to live a focused life because of your subconscious. You're going to have discipline and build habits around to help you structure yourself to be focused. But it's by choice that we create that. Commitment is number seven secret. And again, we can choose integrity or choose out of it. I look at commitment as people that are willing to step up to the plate and play a bigger game. Are you willing to commit yourself? And then are you going to live in integrity? Are you going to be one with your own word? Are you going to be true to your word and true to other people? And again, that's done all by choice. And every once in a while, we find ourselves like waffling and wavering. I do it too. It's one of my favorite words, the word commitment. In fact, it's one of my core values. But every once in a while, I might be typing about, I don't know, a month ago or something. I was typing a letter to somebody, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry I didn't get back to you last week, da-da-da-da-da, but, and I put the word but. And the minute I put the word but in the letter, I went, my whole body just started shaking. And it was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to make an excuse up? I said, oh, throw up. I was like, I started laughing at myself. What is this about excuses? The reason I didn't follow up with the person is I chose not to follow up. I chose to break a commitment with somebody. For something was more important. But, you know, I'm not going to make an excuse up. I'm not going to make that up. Because that's what excuses are. They're just making something up. We make it up. You can say, oh, but Mary Jo, I told this woman I'd go out to dinner with her on Thursday night, but, you know, my son was in a car accident, and I went off, and I had to take care of that, and then I called her the next day and apologized. And I said, you know, things can happen in your life, but what you got to do is fess up to the fact you chose. And I'm not saying choosing to be with your son is a bad decision when he's in a car accident, but it wasn't an excuse. It was a choice that you made. You choose whether you follow through in your commitments or not. And I suggest to you, when a car accident occurs, if you have a commitment out there, you call that person out of integrity and say, hey, listen, this is what's just happened. Can I renegotiate with you? Can we have dinner a different night? Because I really feel it's more important for me to be with my son at this time. That just is honoring. It's honoring and respectful to the other person. And you could say, well, Mary Jo, but it's so unimportant to do that kind of stuff when I'm in the midst of working it. What do you mean it's unimportant? How is any person unimportant in your life? Take a real hard look at that, because I think every person in your life is important. It doesn't matter if they're your son or their daughter or your husband or whatever. Every person in your life is important. So what's this about devaluing somebody for somebody else? Take a look at that. They're all important. And don't ever make anyone feel small, because is that the impact? Is that the legacy you have to leave? So commitment. Commitment is huge, and we choose around commitment. We choose to make them, we choose to break them. And who's the number one person we break our commitments to more than anyone else? Does anyone know?
Yourself.
Exactly. And all that does, every time you break a commitment that you make yourself, you know, you commit yourself to lose weight, or you commit yourself to win the Alaska trip, or you commit yourself to do this, or you commit to find a new business builder this week, or you commit to this goal, and then it doesn't happen. And you start rationalizing it. And every single time you do that over and over and over again, what are you building? What are you building?
Momentum.
You're building, I'm not important. That's what you're building. You're building inside yourself how very unimportant you are, how very unworthy you are, how it's okay to break every commitment to myself as long as I stay true to my word to everybody else. What does that say? You're very unimportant. You are not worthy. And you just keep building. What you're doing is you're building that program in your life, and you're reinforcing it over and over and over again until it becomes who you are. Is that what you want to build for yourself? I suggest to you, stop breaking commitments to yourself. That's what you need to focus on right now. Start today. New focus. Choose that you're not going to break commitments to yourself, because you are important. And I see this a lot of times in the Christian realm, because it's, you know, we read that book, Purpose Driven Life, and it's the first chapter says it's not about me, right? So all of a sudden, that doesn't give you a green light to break commitments to yourself. That's not what that chapter says. It says your focus and direction in life shouldn't be about you. It should be focused on other people. But it doesn't say you can. It's okay to break commitments and be out of integrity with yourself. Note the difference. We love to justify doing that because of things that we learn, biblical scripture, purpose-driven life, all these things. But that's not what that says. You are important, and you need to meet the commitment you make for yourself to help build your self-confidence and really build who you are. You are worthy. Number 8 is desire. And, of course, how do we get desire in our life? We try to dig deep and find the passion and find the interest in our life, but we really choose desire. We choose to have it or not have it. What causes us not to choose desire? It's really like when we feel a desire in our life, like a lot of you in January said, I really want to be on that Alaska trip. And a lot of you said that it was a heartfelt desire that you had. But we chose out of it. Even though we may not have done it consciously, we did it subconsciously, because what's the one thing that stops us from choosing into desire? Fear of not accomplishing it? Could that be possible? Does anyone relate to that? And I'm going to say that keeps us stuck a lot on choosing into desire. We have a desire in our life, like you could have a desire to have a bigger house, but we quash it. It's kind of like our dreams. We take a bucket of water and dump it on top of ourselves when we have desires or dreams, because we have this lack of confidence that we're going to get there. Well, what's that all about? Again, it's choosing. You're choosing to douse it with water instead of choosing to light it on fire. There's a choice. You can choose desire, you can choose out of it. You can live a life of meandering generalities or live on purpose and on passion. Choice that you make, and that's what desire is about. And then the final one is goals. Goal setting, we all know we can either choose into goal setting or not choose into it. Goals are absolutely crucial. I think it's the number one thing that we need to get people to do as they start off on their Manitech mission and they get involved in the business. I think they got to set goals. You got to sit down and figure out why. Why are you in this business? What are you trying to create in your life? What do you want your life to look like a year from now? Have a direction. No direction, you go nowhere. Have a direction, now you have something to shoot for. Now you're working towards something. Now you have you know, the universe and all the energies around you that are working for you and directing you and helping support you get there. So goals, but again, it's a choice. Do you have to do goals? No. I've got a presidential, you know, that chooses not to do goals. That's, are you going to be effective with it? I don't think so. So there's ways that you're going to be effective and not be effective. You got to make the right choices in your life to be effective. And choosing goals is not something that Mary Jo is the only one on the face of the earth you've heard talk about, goal setting. My goodness, the world talks about it. Every single personal development book I've ever read talks about choosing goals, setting directions. Because if you want to be a meandering generality, that's a person with no goals. Because if you don't know where you're going, that's exactly where you're going to get. Nowhere. You know, it's hit and miss. Living life by chance and circumstance instead of choice and commitment. So goal setting is critical, and it's, again, by choice. So you can see how the word choice impacts every single one of these nine other success steps, secrets to success. Every single one of them is impacted by your choice. So we have to make better choices around them. I have in here the story of the sand wasp, and I'll talk about it briefly. Some of you heard the story, and some of you even last Friday, I did a training call for a group and beyond training. But the sand wasp story looks like this. There's a little sand wasp that lives on the desert, and he lives in what's called a boogle, okay? So that's his little home, and it looks like where an ant would climb down into the sand. And the whole theory of the sand wasp, how he's trained and his genetic pattern is that he will not eat in his, he only eats in his boogle, and he will not eat in it unless it's totally safe. So what happens with the sand wasps, they grab their food, they run up to their boogle, they put the food out, they jump down into their little hole in the sand, they check it out, and then they come back out and get their food, and they bring it back in to eat it. So that's how they're patterned. That's their habit. That's their behavioral pattern. That's how they're structured. That's their whole sense of beingness is around that's their pattern of behavior. So a scientist did a little test. He was watching this little sand wasp run over to his boogle, and he put his food down. He'd jump into his boogle. The scientist would go over there, grab his food, move it a couple feet back, and then hide behind a cactus and keep an eye. The sand wasp would come back out of his boogle, look around. His food was gone. He saw it 2 feet away. He'd run over and get his food, bring it back, drop it at the edge of his boogle, go down in the boogle, and the scientist would come up from behind the cactus, take the food, move it 2 feet away, and jump down the cactus. What happened? The sand wasp came back out, looked around, saw his food was missing, saw it a couple feet away, jumped out, went and ran and got it, brought it back, put it outside his boogle, went down in the boogle to check it out. The scientist came. Now, people, how many times do I have to go over this scenario before you get the pattern? How long would this happen with this sand wasp? How long would he continue this whole pattern of behavior?
Forever.
Until he dies of starvation carrying a piece of food in his mouth. Now, does anyone on this phone call relate to this story? Are we dying of starvation in our Manatech business carrying a piece of food in our mouth? We have this pattern of behavior that we feel like we're structured in. We can't change. We could do it. The difference between the sand wasp and you is only one thing, and that is you have a choice. The sand wasp had no choice. We have choice. We have the power to choose. Do we go victim or do we choose responsible? We have a choice that we make in our life on how we behave. What activities are we going to do? What aren't we going to do? We have the freedom of choice. The sand wasp does not. So you need only to choose and keep choosing as many times as necessary. That is all you need to do. And it is certainly something you can do. Then as you continue to choose, everything becomes yours. That's a quote from Vernon Howard. So that's the end of our book, Living Life with Passion. Now, the epilogue, I put that at the end because it was really fascinating to me because we just went through 10 great chapters in a great book about how to live life with passion and direction and stay on purpose and all these incredible things. And so what is his epilogue was entitled The Problem. So what is the problem? The problem is that we now learned all these skills in order to live a passionate life, but practice does not make perfect, but it does make competent. And from there comes the confidence to act powerfully. The problem is the reality is we go back to the same old lifestyle. After we end a workshop, let's say you go to a great Clemmer workshop or other personal development workshop, or you read a great book, or you're on a Monday call with Mary Jo, and she really gives you new insight into your life in some way, shape, or form. And what happens is phone call, you get out of the workshop, and you go back to work the same lives you had before the enlightening experience and insights. sometimes we even rationalize why what was trained doesn't apply to us. Yikes. We live and work in a culture and society that offers little opportunity or encouragement for you to put into practice a new you, and that's where you need to choose differently. You need to change the context. And I'll give you one last story that he put in the epilogue, which I think is so enlightening, and some of you have probably heard this story. I know I shared it with Lydia earlier, and she said, oh, I heard that when I was out in Virginia. And here's the story. It goes like this. On a dark and stormy night, a battleship's returning home to port after maneuvers in the North Atlantic. The seas are really stormy and gale-force winds, and they have tons of, you know, metal and equipment and guns, and it's incredible. All of a sudden, a signal man leans onto the bridge and says, Captain, signal off the port bow. So the captain looks, is it steady or moving? And the guy said, it's steady, Captain. So he says, we're on a collision course. And he sends out a signal to this light that he sees in the horizon, and he says, signal this. Barks the captain, we are on a collision course. Suggest you change course 20 degrees. And the comment comes back to the battleship, this Navy ship, to the captain and says, suggest you change course 20 degrees. Now, the naval captain is a pretty big guy, and he has all this composure, so he's mad because some signalman out there is trying to tell him what to do with his battleship. So he, again, he's now getting a little irritated. He goes, I am a captain. Change course 20 degrees. Again, the reply comes back, I am a single man, signal man, second class. You change course 20 degrees. Now the captain is furious, and he roars the message, I am a battleship, change course 20 degrees. And the signal comes back, and it says, I am a lighthouse. Isn't this a story? And what does this story tell you? How many of us are the battleship going along in life expecting everyone else to change around us? We expect immovable objects to move because we're unwilling to make the 20-degree change in our life. So what does this tell us? It tells us we need to make better choices. We can't change the lighthouse. We can't move a lighthouse. We can't sit in our staunch attitudes about, I'm an executive director, or I'm a presidential, and I can do this, or I can... We need to look at our lives, and we need to say, where do I need to change the context, the content? What do I need to be doing differently to create different results? Because otherwise, I'm on a collision course with a lighthouse, and the lighthouse isn't moving any day soon. So really ask yourself, how do I live my life with passion? Am I going to wait for something to happen in my life to instill that in me? Or am I going to make changes today in my life? And why not start today? And that's what this is about. Make those choices today. Make those changes. Start implementing them immediately. And quit being on course to hit that lighthouse. Okay, people, great book. Great content. I hope you enjoyed the stories. I hope you enjoyed the content of it. And it just was a joy. Anyone have any comments, feedback from today's class? We have about a minute or so left. Anyone?
I wondered if you could send out the lighthouse story.
Sure. You want me to type that up and send it out?
That would be wonderful. I know someone that needs it.
Right, really needs it. Oh, I think I don't think you're the only one who knows somebody. How many other on this call know somebody who needs that story in their life, right? It's a great story. It is.
Story. Mary Jo, I'd like to thank you for all the time and effort. You're my inspiration each week when I started off.
Well, great. Thank you.
Shirlene from California.
Shirlene, thank you. Thank
Mary Jo, I wanted to say the same thing because, you know, listening to your training now for almost a year has given me the belief that I am worthy.
You are.
To win Cancun vacations and Alaska vacations, and I've done that, and that is only because I realized I have a choice. I can do this, or I can say I wish I had done it.
Right.
And so I appreciate you going over these books with us and getting us focused to and impact many more people's lives than just our own.
Right. There you go. And that's the purpose, really. I love all of you guys being on the call, but if I can touch your lives in a significant way, in any way, I know that you can impact others, and that's the whole purpose. And we just need to be out there impacting lives. That's what we need to do. If we can teach people how to choose different...